greet you one by one, starting with Bonnie and Mark W. Sam Shoketsu, Pat, Jinryu, Bob K, Jim, Marv, Sophia, Sydney, Yeshe Toki, Mary, John, Bob O, Bruce, Cinda, Gary and Debbie, David, Amelia.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Renee. Okay. Let's see. I can't think of any announcements. Can anybody else? We had a nice retreat yesterday. There's another one in October. Yeah. All right. So today, my talk, I'm calling, at least right now, Refusing to be Defeated, Kshanti, the Buddhist Perfection of Endurance. So, in the early centuries after the Buddha's death, Buddhists compiled lists of the Buddha came up with plenty of lists, but subsequently they created lists of the perfections. So they were called paramis in Pali and paramitas in Sanskrit, perfections of character that you needed to develop if you, either if you wanted to become an arhat or a bodhisattva. And they would just, you know, you approached it a little differently depending on what your goal was. And in our lineage, we have a list of six. So one lineage ended up with a list of 10, one lineage ended up with a list of six. We have the six. And they include generosity or dana, morality or sila, endurance or tolerance, which I'm talking about today, kshanti, energy, also translated as diligence or zeal, which is virya, meditation, dhyana, and wisdom, prajna. So these paramitas are a very sweet way of parsing out Buddhism. I was fond of Kyogen's description of the Dharma as being like a tomato, and that you could slice it many different ways. So you could slice it today, you could dice it up, you could, so it's all just one truth, but you know, you can approach it through the precepts, you can approach it through the paramitas, you can, so I encourage you to, you know, take from this teaching what you find useful, and you know, leave it if it isn't useful, maybe it'll come up later. And I also just wanted to do a quick disclaimer about these ideals, if you will, because maybe this isn't the case for all people, but I definitely struggled with ideals. I love ideals, but then I can also beat myself up with ideals, and life seems inadequate compared to the ideals. And so I can have a love-hate relationship with ideals. So in this case, I just recommend using ideals as a direction, as a way of orienting ourselves. That's the direction that we want to move in. It's an aspiration. It's not something to measure ourselves against. It's something to reorient ourselves consistently. So today, talking about kshanti, which can be translated as, sometimes it's translated, perhaps most often, as patience, tolerance, endurance, forbearance, and I'm going to go into some of these different translations and unpack them a little bit. And I felt like this was a very relevant topic because there's so much going on in the world right now that can cause us stress, anxiety, fear, depression, sadness, grief, mental and emotional pain, maybe physical pain as well. So, I mean, we have whatever's going on in our personal lives, right? And that very well may include sources of stress and pain and difficulty. But even if that's not necessarily the case in our personal lives, there's a lot going on in the world right now that can feed anxiety and stress. So I personally always find it helpful to recall there is a Buddhist perfection of kshanti, this endurance or forbearance. It's like it acknowledges that no matter what we do, no matter how diligent we are in our spiritual practice, at times life is going to be uncomfortable. At times life is going to be painful and tinged with suffering. So, just to go a little bit into the words and definitions, I may lean toward just using the word kshanti, because just like the word dukkha and many other words in our Buddhist tradition, there's, you can translate them, but no English word quite gets at the whole thing. So we'll just kind of visit some of these English words, and then I'm probably going to use mostly kshanti and endurance. It's my favorite translation. So to start with, okay, so it's often translated as tolerance, and there are some aspects of tolerance which I think are appropriate, but there are a lot that aren't. So when I looked up the synonyms of tolerance, there were things like accept, condone, countenance, which means abet, permit. And that's not really, I think, what we want to be going for here. Patience, though, patient means bearing provocation, annoyance, misfortune, delay, hardship, pain, etc., with fortitude and calm, without complaint, anger, or the like. And or quietly and steadily persevering or diligent, especially in detail or exactness. So synonyms for patience are composure, diligence, endurance, backbone, calmness, and constancy. And then to forbear means to be patient or self-controlled when subject to annoyance or provocation. So synonyms for forbearance are fortitude, self-control, and I had never heard this word before, but longanimity, which means patient endurance of hardship, injuries, or offense. And then synonyms are composure, grit, and perseverance. And then I like forbearance, but also endure, to hold out against or sustain without impairment or yielding, to undergo, to bear without resistance or with patience, to continue to exist or last. And synonyms are ability, capacity, courage, stamina, strength, tenacity, tolerance, vitality, and staying power. So even if we differentiate pain and suffering, so this is a way that we view things in Buddhism, is that we are going to be subject to pain in our human experience. Physical, you know, illness, old age, disease, and then emotional pain, loss, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to suffer this pain, or we're going to experience this pain, and there's nothing we can do about that. But, I mean, except maybe practical stuff, but spiritually. So, but we can do something about suffering, which is what we add to the pain by resisting it, by telling narratives about catastrophizing around it. It's the extra stuff we add to the pain, which is totally optional. It's not easy to let go of that stuff, but it is the part that we have some say over that we can let go of. So even if we differentiate like that, what I think the perfection of Kshanti is saying is that, yeah, I mean, of course we're going to suffer some pain. And so this means enduring pain without getting freaked out or giving up. But it also means that there's also going to be suffering. Like, yeah, it may be optional, but it's part of human nature, right? That we're going to react, we're going to respond, we're going to resist, we're going to take tell narratives. So we can free ourselves from suffering, but that suffering is going to arise again and again. So this also means just enduring, to some extent, the suffering that we are creating for ourselves. So life can be difficult at times, and Kshanti is enduring, refusing to be defeated, refusing to give up. So, things we need to endure right now. I thought I would, that we could brainstorm on a little list here. Things we need to endure in our personal lives and or in the larger world. Things that are continued sources of pain or discomfort or stress or anxiety. So please go ahead and unmute yourself if you have something to add.
Maybe things out of our control. Can you put something like that in the list? Yeah.
Ruthann, did you have something?
The notion of uncertainty is difficult for the human psyche, which is just following up on what was said.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how specific you want to get. I was going to say outcomes, but there's a particular outcome that I think I may need to endure.
I think we can get specific without naming names.
Well, I mean, I think this year our whole election process and what will happen after election day is fraught with uncertainty.
I would add fears around election process and downfall of our democracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say the administration. The current administration is a source of a lot of my stress. And I don't know how specific, but the pandemic, which is continuing to be a challenge.
And that's a challenge in our limitations on our lives?
I think it plays into the what was already said, the uncertainty, things out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I would add fire season. I just heard this morning on the news in California, the level of danger was beyond my understanding. It was like beyond high. It was like critical or something.
I would say the climate emergency and watching all of that.
I would add the change, but in particular, I'm thinking about change in the fabric of our society.
Mm.
Hi.
Did you have something, Bruce?
No, not right now, no.
Okay.
Willful ignorance.
Feeling overwhelmed with, I mean, there's so much going on that sometimes one can feel like just burying your head in the sand.
Shaketu?
Oh, just divisiveness in this country.
And I don't know how many of us are impacted directly by systemic racism, but I think many of us have been learning that we are impacted. Even those of us who aren't people of color are impacted. And then to witness that kind of hatred and willful ignorance is very distressing.
Can I jump in on one?
Mm-hmm.
Violence.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it for me. I'd like to leave it that simple because I feel like it's many, many categories and in many different ways. So I guess I'm just saying it like that, kind of in a generic sense.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I think there's also financial insecurity. Some of us affected much more directly, some not so much, but you know, we're also hearing pretty awful things about what might happen in the future, you know, on a large enough scale that it really would affect everyone. So when we look at this,
I would like to add, Shanti, of people who totally won't listen to anyone who has a difference of opinion. And so in my case, it might be somebody who just is so totally, you know, an us and them. So if I have no tolerance of even hearing something totally outside of what's understandable to me, to be tolerant, to know that that's notion is out there worldwide, not just in my own geographic area, mm-hmm. and that, you know, it, to let me sit with that's what's happening, even if it doesn't affect me in my immediate future.
Thank you.
One last thing I thought I would like to put on the list is finding the truth in our media intense lives.
Yeah. So as we look at this list, and think about how do, when we are responding, experiencing these things, and we aren't practicing the perfection of Kshanti, when we aren't practicing this endurance, this forbearance, all the things, different things that we, that can happen. We can become fearful, discouraged, stressed, obviously, depressed, despairing, give up, surrender. I hear a lot of, a lot, who knows, right? We're all in bubbles and we're trying to find the truth in our media, and I don't know. But I hear messages from at least some people that, you know, they're like, our system is screwed, so there's no point in voting. There's no point in trying to do anything. So it's a real giving up. We can also be overwhelmed, just feel paralyzed, driven to distraction or intoxication to avoid the pain and stress. We can also respond with reactivity and anger, hatred, dwelling on blame, or just be generally agitated, unable to think clearly or to focus on our tasks. So the perfection of endurance, I want to emphasize, is not passive. I'm always personally very reactive to Buddhist messages that sound passive. They sound like, oh, well, you know, there's injustice in the world, but you just have to endure it. So it's not passive. It is one of the 6 or 10 paramitas. It takes place within the context of practice. So we're not enduring or tolerating or forbearing in order to not be bothered for our own sake. That's not what it's about. We endure in order to stay strong and committed on the path of practice. So it's not turning back on our path of trying to relieve suffering for self and other, for standing up for what we believe is right. So that's, we're enduring for a purpose. We're not just enduring so that we're not bothered. We already kind of brought this up, but, I just was calling to mind in terms of the need for Kshanti. You know, I think the seriousness of our president regularly repeating the falsehood that mail-in ballots lead to widespread voter fraud with no evidence, and the only way that he can lose the election is if it is rigged, and he won't commit to a peaceful transfer of power if he loses. I mean, this is probably the biggest threat to our democracy since it began over 230 years ago. This is serious shit. And it's stressful, like, and it's like, so the top thing on the list, right, is things we can't control. maybe we have some, you know, maybe we can vote. Maybe we can make calls to get out the vote. Maybe we can send postcards. We can, you know, volunteer at a polling center, or, you know, maybe there's things that we can do, but it's not a lot of control over the larger picture. And except by, you know, maybe just tuning it out and putting our head in the sand and distracting ourselves, if we're not doing that, then we just have to live with this stress. It's just there. It's just there every morning. If you look at the news, there it is that continued source of anxiety and stress. So refusing to be defeated, no matter what. Our circumstances can be very challenging. But this is a quote from Shanti Deva. I forgot to write down what century he was from. Indian philosopher, and his most famous work is The Way of the Bodhisattva. And he has a chapter on each of the paramitas. And on his chapter on what is translated as patience in that translation, he says, "Come what may, I'll never harm my cheerful happiness of mind. Depression never brings me what I want. My virtue will be warped and marred by it. If there is a remedy when trouble strikes, what reason is there for despondency? And if there is no help for it, what use is there in being sad?" Easier said than done, of course. But there's something very pragmatic about it. And Buddhism essentially is saying we can influence the state of our own minds. We're not victims to circumstance. There are things that we can do to affect the state of our own mind and change it. So how do we build our endurance? And what I'm going to cover today, I'm sure, is just the first, not exhaustive. First, I think it is more valuable than we might realize simply to acknowledge the importance of endurance and open up to the possibility that we could increase our endurance. And we may not know exactly how to go about it, especially at first, or especially when really challenging things are happening. But when we're feeling exhausted, discouraged, despairing, anxious, agitated, rather than seeing it as a situation we can't do anything about because the external circumstances or whatever internal are causing this distress, we can recognize, oh, my endurance is being challenged. And then arousing that aspiration, I refuse to be defeated. Damn it. I refuse. I'm not going to give up. I feel like giving up right now, but I'm not going to give up. I mean, I think about that in a way, like I feel despairing, like, oh my God, what if our democracy actually fell? What if we ended up with a dictator who was not actually elected? Oh my God. Like, and there's something that's just like, oh, let's all move to Canada. But then there's another part of me that's like, no, you don't get to do that. I'm not just going to give up. So one of the things I think we can do is read regular praises of Kshanti. So this is part of where our study and our chanting and stuff like that comes in, to just remind us of our aspirations. So here's a little more from Shanti Deva. "There are some whose bravery increases at the sight of their own blood, while some lose all their strength and faint when it's another's blood they see. This results from how the mind is set. In steadfastness or cowardice. And so I'll scorn all injury, and hardships I will disregard. When sorrows fall upon the wise, their minds remain serene and undisturbed. For in their war against defiled emotion, and I would say defiled, I don't like that word very much, but what this means is afflictive emotions, emotions that don't help. They pull you down the dark pit of nothing fruitful or good. For in their war against defiled emotion, many are the hardships, as in every battle. Thinking scorn of every pain and vanquishing such foes as hatred, these are exploits of a conquering hero. Suffering also has its worth. Through sorrow, pride is driven out, and pity felt for those who wander in samsara. Evil is avoided, and goodness seems delightful. So we consider the possibility that our current situation can be endured without succumbing to depression, despondency, hatred, and perhaps through effort, experiencing that for ourselves, maybe just a moment at a time, and building our confidence that is the case. Maybe you want to summon the image of somebody that you admire who acts in this way, who has endured great hardship with dignity and grace and just gone on and done what needed to be done. I would imagine we all have ancestors like that. So in terms of a more practical sense, how do we increase our endurance? How do we build Kshanti? I think it's just like we would physical endurance, right? Like if you realize you're totally out of shape, you start small. So here's what Shanti Deva says. The cause of happiness comes rarely, and many are the seeds of suffering. But if I have no pain, I'll never long for freedom. Therefore, O my mind, be steadfast. There's nothing that does not grow light through habit and familiarity. Putting up with little cares, I'll train myself to bear with great adversity. So when I read this, I think of putting up with an itch during Zazen instead of scratching it. It's a very small thing, right? But it's the same kind of impulse. Something's happening. I've got to fix it. I've got to react. And to sit through the inevitable discomfort that comes from sitting in Zazen. This is a deep, like, physical kind of training. And you can see this, the truth of this. I mean, you may be critical of your own sitting, but if you imagine pulling the average person off the street and then, you know, getting them to sit meditation, if they even, you know, were willing at all, they would probably be like, I mean, just it takes some training to just be still. Not just with the physical discomfort, but the discomfort that arises when you stop distracting yourself, right? All of that stuff that we were talking about kind of will come to mind as you sit there. And if you're not distracting yourself, you have to just be with it. You have to be with your own sense of inadequacy, your own sense of dissatisfaction, your own sense of longing. It's enduring discomfort, which is actually great Kshanti training. And Shanti Deva's chapter on patience contains many verses about dealing with specific challenges, including insults from others and kind of the process you go through as you are like, you know, darn it, I'm not just going to make myself more miserable just because, you know, I'm not going to let them control the circumstances just because they're being unfair or whatever. Loss of reputation, all kinds of different things that tend to upset us. And he talks about how to frame them so we're inspired to endure them and rise above them in a way instead of fretting about them or getting angry. So we have opportunities to practice Kshanti all day long, driving in traffic, dealing with annoying people, having an argument with family members, being misunderstood, witnessing injustice and destruction. So just as if we were physically going to build up our endurance, you know, maybe we're really, really out of shape and we just got to start with a slow walk around the block. And then we go for a longer walk and then we speed up a little bit. And then maybe even at some point we can, you know, ride a bike or we can run on a treadmill. Maybe we can run or take long hikes, gradually build our endurance. And with our spiritual practice of Kshanti, we start with the itch, the small provocation, the source of worry, then moving on to a sense of despair or dealing with significant misfortune. So in that moment, when we are practicing Kshanti, what exactly happens? So we encounter something that causes us pain or distress, or seems like a source of threat. Large or small, physical or emotional, kind of a real possible threat in the world, or maybe just more of an ego-based threat. And we have a negative emotional reaction of some kind. Anger, resentment, fear, anxiety, sadness, despair, all that. And then we have an impulse, you know, our animal fight, flight, or freeze impulse. You know, I need to get away from this as soon as possible, or I'm just, I don't know what to do at all. I'm paralyzed. So we have this kind of immediate reactive response, which is very deeply ingrained in us as living beings. So when we're practicing Kshanti, then we pause and turn the light of awareness on our experience itself. Turn, you know, taking the light necessary, not off the whatever is provoking us, and just, or maybe even to say, expand the light of awareness. So it's not like we have to ignore it, but we include our experience. We can include our reaction and recognize that those reactive responses, as natural as they are, as informative as they are, will only handicap us. They will only cause more suffering if we go into reactive mode. Anger, fear, avoidance, overwhelm. Okay. There's these responses are coming up. And a response may be required. We may need to defend something. We may need to take action. But we arouse the aspiration to act from a place of centeredness and strength instead of reactivity. But before we get that centeredness and strength, then that's where the endurance is required. You know, we're not quite yet clear and centered and calm and ready to respond. But so it's like that gap between the impulse to react and the readiness to respond in a clear way. Like somewhere in the middle there is just this endurance, this forbearance of the source of of stress, the source of difficulty or pain. So for this moment, things are uncomfortable, maybe even distressing or painful. But just being with that reality, just breathing with it, refraining for the moment from fight, flight, or freezing. And we learn that, except in extremely rare circumstances, we learn that we will not die. We will be okay, relatively speaking, to endure. Pain and suffering is a part of human life, and we have the capacity to endure it and not let it turn us back from what we want to achieve, not let it turn us back from our path of practice, from living the kind of life we want to lead. So I'll leave it there. Open it for comments and questions. Is that Bob?
He is.
Unmuting yourself?
Yeah. I've been doing an experiment for a while now, and it has something to do, I think, with building up strength or kshanti by desensitizing a little bit. Because we're all very, at least I am, pretty sensitive to a lot of issues right now. And what I have done is kind of what I call disaster clicking. I think there's different names for it, but that is to take a set of news that you can get from anywhere. You know, you can get it from Google, or Google will try to tailor the news to your likes or dislikes or what you've done. But anything will work. And to just click through each one and make a very quick assessment about, is that trash? Is it a lie? Is it true? Is it just not even worth looking at? And to click through every one of them, as many as you can, stand, and make a decision in your own mind about the validity of that thing. And what I found is that most of the news items that I receive are basically trash. They're not worth anything at all. There are some that seem to have some validity, but most of them are big news outlets and so forth, and they all are falling into the same category. And pretty soon, what happened to me is that I felt like I didn't have to really pay attention to them anymore. But in fact, they were not valid. And the ones that, the very few that I could find that were valid, I still took with quite a grain of salt to say, I wonder if that's really true or not. But I'm getting the very distinct impression that the news media have totally distorted what we are seeing in our country today. And that in order to not be negatively affected by that distortion, that you have to, in fact, become not so fragile. And that is one way to do it. Of course, you better have your medication ready just in case. But other than that, you know, just go at it. And it's like it goes away. It doesn't even bear the same weight that it used to.
Well, that's one way to approach things. But it feels like shanti is what you cultivate when things really are shitty. So it's one thing to look at the, you know, and kind of discount the badness, but sometimes things really are bad.
You don't. Well, no, I'm not saying they're not bad. I didn't mean to give that impression. But what I am saying is that maybe what we think is really bad is just something we've made up in our minds. And in fact, if we can desensitize a little bit to it, that we are better served in terms of maintaining our engagement. You know, because it's easy to give up when you feel discouraged or there's so many sort of negative things coming at you. I can speak for myself. It's really easy to give up. And it's kind of like white fragility, you know, in terms of the Black Lives or movement and racism. You need to become less fragile. That doesn't mean that bad things aren't happening. They are happening. But in order to gird ourselves up, I think, you can do a certain amount of desensitizing yourself.
You didn't come out and say these words, Demio, but one of the things you were talking about put me in mind of noticing. It may have been when you talked about pause, and I think of the power of the pause. But I'm becoming more and more interested in this concept of simply noticing what I'm thinking or feeling. And I used to think that was just a nonsensical suggestion from Buddhism. I'm starting to think that it could be very helpful to me. Because it gives you some distance, and it seems to weaken the effect of that feeling that happens to be dragging me around at the moment.
I agree that noticing is an important thing, and as another way to put it is call it witnessing. Mm. Witnessing what's your process or what's going on for you right here, right now.
Increases our tolerance, I think. Similarly, you know, that's part of what mindfulness practice is used for in secular settings these days, is to help people who are just, you know, it's very difficult for them to sit still with their discomfort or their thoughts or their feelings, and simply practicing the mindfulness and that kind of awareness actually reduces the, like Jamie was saying, reduces the power of it, reduces our reactivity to it. It's pretty amazing. Ruthann, did you have something?
To build on the witnessing, it sounds selfish to start with gratitude, but after I list a couple of things I'm personally grateful for, then I go to the wider circle. And yesterday when I was writing, I thought, oh, my begging bowl is balsa wood. It's so light, but it's huge because gratitude, once you get started, then you can go outside of yourself and say, oh, I'm open to any shift in my outlook.
Yes. Anybody else find Kshanti to be an inspiring?
I really like the, it's just, I feel like this was a really timely lesson for me to talk about endurance. It's just been really, really difficult this school year with all of the added paperwork and that we have to do. And it seems like everything's 10 times longer, like to take attendance takes, because I have to take attendance even when students aren't in class. And so it's like, how do you do that? How do you take attendance when students like are sitting at home? How do you even know that they were there? I don't know, everything, it takes me hours more time to do everything. And you feel sometimes like such a failure trying to get things done that you feel you should be getting done. And I've been really dealing a lot with that of just like lacking that feeling of endurance. And sometimes endurance can be really negative. Like you mentioned that it's like, it can be this kind of, you got to weather it just because you have to weather it. And when you went through those, like, you know, the idea of patience of just accepting that it's always going to be awful and that, I like that idea of that shift, that it's not about accepting the things that are horrible, that it's much more about trying to find the ways you can act. And I think one of the things that I've been doing a lot lately is realizing that I've just been, what I've been thinking of as endurance is just putting up with the things I have to do. And that what that's actually led me to do is undermine all of the things I need to actually be able to endure, like not eating appropriately and like not sleeping enough and not exercising. And so I'm at the point where I think I'm enduring, but really I'm undercutting my ability to endure. And that, you know, the way that we think of it is not really what endurance should be. So just, I guess, thank you for this talk, because it's really helped me reframe what endurance really is and should be.
Yeah, endurance is like taking care of yourself in a way, right? It's like, I'm not going to be crushed by this. I'm going to find a way to not be crushed by this.
One thing that comes up after what you just shared is, it's finding balance. So when you're in a TD, when you're doing something that's kind of knocks you around, you're going to lose balance. And so part of the practice for me is, how do I stay balanced? And how do I balance when everything is teeter-tottering? And a big part of that is what was just shared about remembering self-care and self-nurturing and having gratitude for what I can do. If I don't put out the endurance, so to speak, for the self-nurturance and the balance, then I'm just going to topple over.
I was going to say something, but I don't know if someone else was going to speak.
I was going to say something, but go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I think that it's helpful to acknowledge, you know, the need to endurance, for endurance, because just to acknowledge it, it feels good. And like, you know, part of me, sometimes I like to step back from the emotions and be more of a witness or observer. And sometimes I feel like it's important to get upset because things aren't, I mean, you know, not to get into the details, but just yesterday I was driving around and I saw all these people congregated in this shopping center with all these restaurants, and we just hit 200,000 cases of coronavirus. And I'm thinking, why are you doing that? You know? And so I think if, I don't know, if there's a middle ground, like don't get too wrapped up in the emotion, but also don't be too desensitized, because if you are, then it's like you're just watching life go by and you'll never really act. I mean, sometimes like anger does help to fight injustice. So I think it's important to kind of find a middle ground there.
Yeah, to me it seemed as I was studying this and preparing for this, I was thinking in a way we have to build this up if we want to be fully engaged in life. This is, you know, if you're going to be fighting the good fight, you're going to have to have some endurance. If you're going to go like sit in a cave somewhere and ignore everything, maybe you don't need so much endurance. But it seemed like a something that we actually need to cultivate. Yeah, if we're going to stay engaged and care.
I just received some training information from a Quaker friend of mine, which I forwarded it to a few people who I knew might be interested. But if the whole Sangha wants to hear about it, I'll be glad to forward it on to the Bright Way Sangha. And it's a training on how do we nonviolently maintain our democracy. And it's taught by a Quaker and another man who's taught nonviolent activism. And there are two trainings. One is October 1st and one is October 8th. So if you want, I can list that.
Sure.
Okay.
We may need it.
Okay.
Jinryu, do you want to?
Well, I got to thinking about when someone was talking about Sydney, I think, how long it takes to take attendance and how do you do that and the paperwork. And I was just thinking yesterday that it is possible we're almost in October. It's possible that it's taken me 7 months to get accustomed to the way we're living right now with the pandemic. And everything is slower. Every time I go to the grocery store, I come home and I think, geez, everything is so slow. Going to the UPS store, going to the library, it's not a snap to go pick up your book when it's ready. And I was thinking that there are aspects to my life now that are more peaceful. Mm. It's like things have really slowed down. And maybe that I can use that as an opportunity to pause more and to notice more and to figure out the right way to respond. A new way to respond.
All right. I will go get my bell for our closing dedication. Abiding in this ephemeral world like a lotus in muddy water, the mind is pure and goes beyond. Thus we bow to Buddha. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Dobby.
Happy Sunday.
Yes. Yes,
indeed. Good rest of your weekend.
good luck finding your way in all this.